Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tomorrow is a very important and special day for us because it is a day where hopefully the majority of the nation will pause its busy life and will return thanks. Now, some years it seems like the pastor might beat up on us a little bit during Thanksgiving because the text is about one single leper who returns to give thanks, and God beats up on the other ones a little bit for not doing so. But guess what? You're here. Why would I beat up on you for not coming when you're here tonight? There are a million things that you could be doing right now. Last-minute preparations, maybe not all of your cooking is quite done, but yet you are here. You have gathered in the Lord's house to return thanks, which is exactly what we are to do. Every single thing that we have is a gift from God. Do we treat it as such? Do we remember who is the one who gives us all of these things? Now, there's a common practice among families that on Thanksgiving, before they dig into the meal, that they each go around and say something that they're thankful for. Now, I recognize that not all families do this, but I think it's a very good practice. It's a good practice to remember the fact that God has given us a multitude of blessings, and we are thankful for each of them. For me personally, I'm thankful for a family, for a wife who is absolutely a helpmeet, and for children who are godly most of the time, and who actually listen, again, most of the time. I'm thankful for you as a congregation, a family that God has brought me to, a family that I care very much for, that I love. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. God has given you this church. He has given you His Word. He has given you His sacraments, that you might know that He loves you. One of the lepers who is healed returns to give thanks. He's a Samaritan. And if you know anything about the difference between Samaritans and Judeans, you'll understand just how important that is. In Jesus' earthly ministry, he oftentimes will blur the lines between the historic Samaritans and Israelites. These were cousins, yet they did not get along. They had descended from the same man, and yet they bickered and fought because the Samaritans had gone the way of the world. They did not worship God as was right. They did not acknowledge the entirety of the Old Testament scriptures, rather only the Torah. They did not worship in Jerusalem where the temple was, rather they worshiped on Mount Gerizim. And yet, Jesus also tells us a parable. He makes up a story about a Samaritan that most of you still know, the Good Samaritan. That this man who lied broken and beaten on the side of the road was passed by his own kindred, and yet it was a Samaritan who stopped to assist him. It was a Samaritan who pays all the cost to bring him back to health, to feed him, and to nourish him. Jesus had come to the Jew first, and the Samaritan, and the Gentile too. He came for all of us, and we should give thanks. This man, this Samaritan, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Is that not an appropriate posture before the Lord our God, who is holy and mighty, to fall down on our face in his presence? If you could see Jesus Christ and the cherubim and the seraphim and all the holy angels in front of you, guess where you would be? Lying on your face. I know I would. The majesty to behold, the glory to see, and the fact that he is holy and we are not. How could we stand in his presence? Jesus hears their pleas for mercy, and he heals all of them, and yet only one returns to give thanks. Jesus has the man rise, and he says the words, "Your faith has made you well." And none of the English translations really get this completely right, because the word here means that your faith has saved you. What is it that saves you? Is it your work? Is it the fact that sometimes you do remember to give thanks to God? Are you not saved when you sometimes forget? Are you not saved when you stumble and you fall and you sin against the most holy God? Does Jesus turn his back on you in the moments of weakness? Or has he still died to cover your sins? We should give thanks. And tomorrow I look forward to the nation giving thanks too. Spend time thinking about what you are thankful for. But as you, Christians, tomorrow remember who you are thankful to, a nation that will stop for a moment before beating itself up and beating others just to get a cheaper price on something, that nation needs to remember who it's thankful to. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the psalmist writes. Blessed are you, for your God is Yahweh. He is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your Creator, your Redeemer, and your Sanctifier. Jesus Christ took upon your flesh to die your death to cover your sin. That is the God that we are thankful to, the one who has done everything on our behalf. That is the God that we are thankful for. In the moments of our weaknesses, in the moments of our trials and tribulations, we still pause to give thanks. Everything, everything in your household, your job, all of those things are gifts from God. He has given them to you, and he has also given you very precious treasures. Children are eternal treasures. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they wonderful? Don't we give thanks to God for them? And even if they are not our own flesh and blood, do we not give thanks for the children that are placed into our lives? Children that God has given us the ability to teach the faith, to serve in his church, to give that blessing of the gospel and grace to others? Should we not be thankful? Has God not given us the ability to work? Has God not given us the ability to serve him? Has he not given us talents and treasures to use for his glory? All of these things are returned to him because they're not ours in the first place. We are merely stewards. Your faith saves you, not your works, not how good you are in front of other people, not the good face that you put on, but your faith. In our Old Testament lesson, God reminds us that he humbled his Old Testament people, and he humbles us as well. He humbled them. He allowed them to hunger in the desert. And sometimes he allows us to hunger too. But does he not feed us? Did we not recount those words from Martin Luther? That he gives us everything that we need to support this body and life? He gives us food. In the Old Testament, he gave manna from heaven to feed them. In his New Testament, he gives us the bread of life, his own body, to nourish us, not just in body, but in spirit. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so we repent, and so we fast, that we might feast, that we might receive his forgiveness and feast on the Lord and rejoice in his holy name. As a man chastens his son whom he loves, so the Lord your God chastens you. He allows you and sometimes sends you through trials and tribulations. Not that he might abandon you, but that you might always see that your Father is with you. Sometimes earthly fathers and mothers fail their children, but God, our Heavenly Father, never will. He has promised to be with us. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And just as he sent his old covenant into a promised land flowing with milk and honey, that they might not hunger or thirst, all of that passes away. But he has promised you that land as well. A land that will not be corrupted. A land that will flow with everything that you need for all eternity. For our Lord is giving us a promised land. Heaven. The new heaven and the new earth. And in that land, dear child of God, you will lack nothing. And so, as the church celebrates our God and is thankful to him, she also sings. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns, with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.